Hello and welcome on board the program Life at Sea. My name is Hope Oriri. For today, Engineer Olu Akinsoju will be joining us from the rock city of Abeokuta, and he'll be sharing his experiences with us as a chief engineer on board a vessel and what it takes to plan for life after sea. Engineer Akinsoju, you're welcome on the program today, and we are glad to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to express you of my experience after a very long time. I think you're talking about driving me back to memory lane since 79, 80, and you'll pardon me if I don't remember quite a few things, but generally, most important thing that happened in that period will be remembered because they were substantial responsibilities. First of all, let me say that after my chief's ticket, I was not directly promoted chief engineer.
Okay.
First, I was appointed to the training officer for pilots.
Okay.
I think that was on a smaller ship, relatively, Gongola Hope. Some of the pilots were brought from other ships to Gongola Hope. I think I had about 14 pilots.
Where was that Gongola Hope?
A Nigerian vessel. National Shipping Line.
Oh, okay.
I worked all my life in National Shipping Line before going to the Ministry of Transport.
Okay.
And I had about 3 to 4 months with all these cadets. There were about 14 of them. Some of them from NPA, some National Shipping Line, Inland Waterways at that time. And there were 14 of them on that ship.
Okay.
And they were about to finish their sea time to go to school. So I was asked to take care of them for 3 to 4 months on that vessel. And I had a good time with them. Some of them were very rascally.
You said you had a good time. Can you let us know what that good time was?
Some of them were so green. They didn't know what it would take to be a merchant navy. That you need a lot of discipline. You need to wake up at the proper time. You need to do what you're supposed to do at the right time. You need to have respect. You need to be dutiful. You need to be dependable. Some of them will sleep in, and you need to wake them up and give them assignment. They will not do it. This is the kind of thing that I had to remove from their mindset to adjust them before they went to school, because going to school at that stage, they were was to train them to become junior engineers and finish the last phase of their cadetship. So they need to be properly aligned to be responsible, because after that, they would need to wake up for duties, you know. When you wake up for duties every 4 hours, you must wake up and you must relieve whoever is on duty 10, 15 minutes before the end of his time. And this was a very disciplined thing to do. There must be overlap of change of duty on the vessel.
Yes.
So I had to inculcate that discipline into them. That was the interesting part of it. But some of them were very good. So anyway, that phase went. And I then went to Liverpool. This is my last trip with these cadets. And they all dispatched. And there was my promotion to be chief engineer was very sudden.
You said very sudden. How?
Just after that period, I was also taken to a ship, River Niger, you know. Also as second engineer to one Englishman, when the River Niger was in the very serious distress in Lagos. The upper bearings and the lower bearings of the main engine were wiped out, and the ship couldn't, and the crankcase of the vessel also had a crack, you know, so you couldn't retain the engine oil. So it was a terrible distress here at Lagos, and to ship down bearings.
Well, I was going to ask you, what does that mean for a ship?
Well, what it means is that if the propulsion engine was in such a situation, the ship was unhealthy and could be regarded as unseaworthy, because its mechanical propulsion engine is not capable of providing the powers. So there was this option for National Shipping, either to fly in the bearings and the experts to fix it, or we should take the ship in a distressed manner to Liverpool for repairs. I was then taken to that ship as a second engineer, and I had to sail that ship to Liverpool. That was a challenge for me, because to take a ship that had a wide bearing and also a crack in the sump. A crack in the sump means that you cannot retain the lubricating oil to lubricate the engine. That's why the fact that the engine, the bearing was also not in good shape. So it's a double problem. But thank God I was able to manage to take the vessel. Second engineer, the chief engineer was not, at that time, he wasn't so happy. He was just praying that the ship should arrive, because he was going home. He was going to England.
Okay, sailed from Lagos to Liverpool.
To Liverpool, and that took us about 24 days instead of 12 days. Because I had to stop at almost every port to buy lubricating oil and also to reinforce the crack on the crankcase and reduce the leakages. It was like limping to Liverpool, but we managed to get to Liverpool. And I think that also assisted me, because by the time we got to Liverpool, the superintendents in Liverpool and in Nigeria, they were very happy that I was able to, because they couldn't get into, my captain was relating to me, because the chief engineer was terribly distressed. Anyway, when we got to Liverpool, there was a problem in Amadou Bello. It was in Tilbury, in London. He had a slip disc. He lost his back. Ofuedu is the name of the chief engineer there. And they had to remove him from the vessel, Amadou Bello. And I was here trying to sort out the distress of Niger in Liverpool. I was bundled into the train to Tilbury, because the ship was in standby. Amadou Bello was on standby to sail until when the chief engineer had the disc, the slip disc. So I was taken to the vessel. As I was climbing the vessel, they pulled the gangway and the ship sailed. I hadn't any orientation or experience of being a chief engineer. I was just newly promoted.
Okay.
I was promoted from River Niger to go and take the ship as chief engineer to sail to Nigeria from Tilbury.
I haven't struggled with one from Lagos to Liverpool. So you were going to take another one back from Tilbury to Lagos?
Yes, yes. So I just took my suitcase from Liverpool, went into the train, and went to Tilbury. And when I got to Tilbury, as I was climbing the gangway, the captain pulled the gangway, and they said to stand by for air and aft, and the ship cast out of the jetty. And as I became a chief engineer. Now, I didn't know the people on the ship. I didn't know my staff. I had not met the captain. So I just went to my room. I went straight to the captain, say hi to him, and second engineer. The second engineer said everything was all right. So as we were pulling out of the docks, they cried fire in the engine room.
Oh.
So my promotion is still written in pencil.
Oh, goodness.
So I hardly realized that I was the chief engineer, but I was still thinking that the chief engineer would
come to the rescue.
So I already was putting on my bowler suit, as I, said, oh, fire is the engine room. So I went down to the engine room, and I saw some of the engine room staff trying to leave the engine room. So I realized that there was no chief engineer. I was the chief engineer. So I shouted on them to go back and fight the fire. So the fire extinguisher that was at the entrance of the engine room, I just took one of them and was going down the engine room to see where the fire was. I saw the smoke, so I was moving towards it. That was a fire under the rotary exhaust valve. It's a common kind of fire that we studied about. It's oil dripping on top of exhaust valve, and it's more smoke than fire itself. If you don't take care of it,
it could get bad. Yeah,
it could get terrible, and you can lose the ship. can lose the people and the court and the cargo and whatever. So I had to add search fire. If you attack it properly, you can rescue the whole thing. So I was almost confused, but I knew the ship was, I look back, I know there was nobody else to call. I was the most senior crew of the engine room.
Yeah.
So nobody to turn to. So I had to take both those who were going up not to go back. And I had to shout on top of my voice to scream at them. And then those one of them who did not want, I threw the fire extinguisher I was holding in my hand. As soon as I saw another fire extinguisher, I threw the fire extinguisher at him. He was on the gangway and he rolled down the stairs. Everybody got scared and they all became more responsible. And we tried the fire out.
And the ship was still on sail?
Yeah, we were still moving. We were still moving.
Okay.
I didn't stop the engine. I couldn't stop the engine unless it was extremely necessary.
Okay.
Because we were still maneuvering. We still had pilot on board. And that would be a terrible thing for me to stop the engine. It means it's going to cost the company a lot of money having to pay for double talks and all that, and then the stress and all the embarrassment for the company. So I had to put in everything I could to make sure that the ship was safe and did not create an embarrassment to the company.
How long did it take you to sail to Lagos?
That trip, I think it was about 11 days or so.
Okay, the normal time.
11 to 13, well, as soon as we put the fire out, we saw the problem out and everything became normal.
Okay.
I think it was just a challenge for me to know that I was a chief engineer, no more a second engineer.
Welcome to a tougher responsibility.
It was a welcome. Very, very, very interesting. Each time I remember that phase of my life, I always thank God for preparing me in a way. I think I'm privileged, I'm lucky that God has been very, very kind to me.
Okay, so that was a very great experience. Now, share with us what it takes and the consciousness that every mariner should have to plan for life after sea, because you have left sea for quite some time and you have a good experience what it means to continue to do other things after sea life.
Let me quickly say that from person to person, you cannot compare life really between one and another. Circumstances are different for one person to another. But having said that, there's no harm in sharing experience, a personal one. But you cannot replicate this with any other person because the circumstances may be totally different. My peculiar life experience or preparation to life after sea was that as soon as I became chief engineer, by the time I finished that first trip, I realized that I was only about 32.
Oh, quite old. Young.
Yeah, so I think I was very young to be chief engineer because I had accumulated leave because I was not going on leave while I was at sea. My aim was to finish and become chief engineer as soon as was possible.
Okay.
For instance, when I came down from Amadouville as chief engineer, I had more than a year leave. I was fully paid, so I had to find something to do because I knew that being a chief engineer, that was the end of my career at sea. There was no other position you will be at sea that is more than chief engineer.
Yes.
That was what I assumed. And I said, as soon as I go on leave from as chief engineer, I will not go back to sea. So after 3-4 months, I felt that I would need to do something more steady for my life. So I then applied to Buries because I knew that Buries took some of my colleagues to work in their utility. So I applied to Nigerian Buries and I went for their interview and they offered me the job. and decided that they would pay me the same remuneration I was having as a chief engineer, which was not very common at the point of employment. So I was happy and lucky, and I took the job, and I worked with Nigerian Bureau Research Economy for about 6 months, which was for the period of orientation to become utility engineer for them. So almost at the end of the 6 months, Nigerian National Shipping Line invited me.
To come back?
To come back. EPI was the AGM. Okafo was the superintendent. And I told them that I won't want to go to sea. He said, no, we are inviting you to come to the office as a superintendent with Okafo. Because at that time, we were receiving the 19 ships bought by Nigeria.
Okay.
And they needed protocol of insurance claims of the vessels. They needed superintendents to analyze the claims and look at the approved drawing and, you know, relative to the claims and defend the claims we make with the shipbuilders, the president of the Classification Society. So, Okafo would not be able to cope with all the vessels at that time, so I was invited to the office. And that was a problem for me because I had to decide whether to stay in Nigerian Breweries or to go back to National Shipping Line. That was a very serious decision that I had to pray and even fast because the salary they were paying me in Nigerian Breweries, but all the renovations, I was not buying beer again. I was not buying this disinfectant again because the breweries were supplying all these
supplies. Okay.
And then they were paying me, I think at that time, about 12,000, which was, and National Line was going to pay me 7,000.
Oh, and what year was this?
This was, I think, 81 or so.
Okay.
Or 81. And then I looked at Nigeria Breweries at that time. They were 32 engineers that were my senior. Then I looked at the National Shipping Line. I saw that there were only two superintendents in Nigeria here. And I had a chance there, even though the money was not good. So I had to tell them at Breweries that I'm sorry, I cannot continue the employment. The DM was very nice. You really saw my reasoning that I am a career mariner, and it was better for me to be in the marine line than to be in the jury line. So I decided to go to National Shipping Line. The money was not my major. Money has never been my major consideration in any decision in my life. And I'm happy. I am more comfortable thinking of ideas and what I can do than thinking of money. So I went to National Shipping Line. That was the beginning of all the things that happened to me. A year after the National Shipping Line, the ministry started asking me to come because they didn't have enough surveyors. They had an Indian who was the surveyor, and then they had only one or two other Nigerians there to cover a service. So occasionally I would submit my survey to the ministry, and the ministry would just ratify. That it wasn't really nice that I was submitting the vessel to the ministry, and I submitted it was also privy to the certification of the vessel. So it wasn't a healthy situation. So the government inspector of shipping, who was at Bakuba at that time, requested the NNSL to release me to Ministry of Transport to assist them in survey. And the National Shipping Line, they also needed me because myself and Okafo were the superintendent.
So you automatically started a new career path.
It was like a new, completely different career. Well, eventually, when I went on leave and there was nobody to survey the ship for NNSL, Agbakuba said, unless they called me from leave, they will not survey National Line ship to get certification. So they called me from leave, and that was how people. I did not accept that I should go to Ministry of Transport. So they then worked out my transfer, and I went to the Ministry of Transport as principal surveyor and examiner of engineers.
Okay.
So that's my career life.
But that means it just happened. It wasn't as if you planned it.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
The only part of it that I could see I planned was leaving Buries to go to NSL and choosing to be on my career line than to be attracted by money.
Okay. You know, yours happened this way, and like you mentioned earlier, it is definitely not going to be the same thing for everybody. I want you to share with us the importance and the consciousness that people should take to heart to plan life after sea.
Well, the most important thing to do, if you're a chief engineer and you want to come down, the first thing to do is to look at the area of your relevance. Area of your relevance, and then the antecedents. First of all, look at the area of your relevance. Then secondly, look at the antecedents. What are the antecedents of those who left ship and became successful? One is that they will work in hotels, in hospitals, also be lecturers. And those who have been in those areas, what have they been able to achieve, what they have achieved? You then target your life towards that. And depending on your priority, if you love to have money, then you look for the job that is most lucrative. If you love to have career and build on career, then you look for a more subtle way of livelihood than looking for a long-time future success, which is my own way of looking at things.
Thank you so much. You've shared quite a lot with us, and I know we've all learned from this experience. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure speaking with you and hearing all this from you.
Thank you very much. I hope I'm always there anytime you want. I can always chip in whatever I can.
Okay, thank you so much.